Shavuos Perek Zayin Mishnah Vav is continuing the story of the Shavuos HaMishnah, where somebody has to swear to receive his money. Amar Lechen Vini, if a man says to a store owner, Tain li b'dinar peros, give me 1 dinar's worth of produce, and v'nasan lo, and the storekeeper gave the products to the client, v'amar lo, tain li esa dinar, and the storekeeper says, give me my dinar for the produce that I advance to you. Amar lo, nesativ loch, and the customer says, I already gave it to you. But he says, I gave it to you, unisato ba'anpoli, I put it into your cash register. So I put the money right into the cash register. I didn't give it to you in your hand. You were busy. You were running around. I put it in the register directly. Yishava bal habayis. Then the bal habayis, who swears that he already gave him the money, he has to swear it, and then he will receive the produce. So the Gemara explains that the produce was heaped up in a big pile in Rishus HaRabim. So it's not in the seller's Rishus or the buyer's Rishus. It's just sitting there. The shopkeeper admits that he already sold it, but he wants his money. The buyer swears an oath that he already gave the guy his money, and then he gets to have it. It would be different, the Gemara says, if the pile of produce was in somebody's possession. Then Hamotzi Machavero Olav Haraya. Then it depends on whose possession it was in. If it was still in the possession of the shopkeeper, then the householder is going to have to find some kind of proof that he paid the money and hasn't gotten his produce yet. If the produce is already in the hands of the buyer, well, then the shopkeeper is trying to get the dinar out, and that's going to be a difficult thing to do. Other oaths will be involved. Now, nosan lo es hadinar. He gave the shopkeeper the dinar in advance. So he gave him the dinar, and then amar lo ten li es haperos, give me my fruit. Amar lo nesatim loch. And this time the shopkeeper says, I already gave it to you. I gave you what you got for your dinar, but v'holachton l'toch beischa, you already brought them home. So what am I supposed to do? I can't prove anything. I gave you the pears, you brought them home. Maybe you forgot, but I didn't sell you this particular pile, like the first case that's sitting here in Rishus HaRabim. This is somebody else's pears. I gave you your pears and you took it home already. Well, in such a case, yishava hachenveni, the shopkeeper is going to have to take an oath in this case that he had already given the produce to the buyer, and then the produce that's sitting out in Rishus HaRabim belongs to the shopkeeper because he doesn't admit that he sold it. It's still in his Rishus, but since it's lying in Rishus HaRabim and isn't physically in his Rishus, then he has to take the Shavuos HaMishnah, this oath Rabbanon, in order to take it. But Rabbi Yehuda Omer, according to Rabbi Yehuda, kol shehaperos biyado yado al yona. Any situation where the peros are in somebody's possession, whoever has the produce has the upper hand. He disagrees when it comes to this case. He says that the client has to swear. Since the produce is in Rishus HaRabim, it's considered as if it was in the hands of the customer, no longer in the hands of the chenveni. If it was in the hands of the chenveni, it would have been in the store. Since it's not in the store, it's Rishus HaRabim, it belongs to the customer. Next case, Omar La Shulchani. If somebody says to a money changer, Tain li b'dinar ma'os, give me small change for a dinar, for a larger coin, and v'nasan lo, the money changer gave him the change without ever taking the dinar coin, and then amar lo, tain li esa dinar, the money changer says, give me the big bill. Amar lo, nesativ loch, v'nasati unesato ba'anpoli. He says the same thing like in the store case, I gave it to you, and I dropped it into your cash register there. You didn't notice, but I threw it into your purse already. So Yishava Balabayis. The Balabayis has to swear that he in fact did the repayment, and then he keeps the small change and he's considered paid up. Nosan lo esa dinar, but if the Balabayis gives the dinar first to the money changer, Amar lo tain li esa ma'os, and then he says to the money changer, give me my change, Amar lo nesatim loch v'yishlachton l'tok hischa, and as in the store case, the money changer says, I gave you your change, you stuck it into your wallet, you just didn't notice, Yishava hashulchani. Then the money changer has to take the oath, and this is the same case as the store case before. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ain derech shulchani litein iser ad sheyitol dinaro. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, using the common practice of money changing, a money changer would not give out small coins until he got his dinar first. The order is always that the customer pays the big bill, and then the money changer gives the small coins. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, the money changer's oath doesn't do anything at all. It's the customer who swears that he paid the big bill, and then he can take money if it's lying in Rishus HaRabim, like the case of the fruit, as we were talking about before. Mishnah Zayin, Kishem She'amru, just like they said, HaPogemes K'subasa, Lo Sipara Ela B'Shvua, that a woman who comes to collect the payment of her ksuba, but she was pogemes in it. She admits that she received partial payment in advance. So she says, I'm here to collect my ksuba from that guy who just divorced me. It's a $200 ksuba, but I took $100 in advances, but he still owes me $100. She can't take payment until Ela B'Shua, until she makes an oath. The husband insists that he paid the whole ksuba off already and he owes her nothing. But in her case, she has to take a shua to collect what she says is the rest of it. Ve'ed echad me'ido shehi perua, lo sipar el b'shua. Also, if one aid testifies against her that the ksuba was paid off, then she can't be paid except in the shvua again. All of this comes from a mission in Ksubo's Perek Tes that explains at length all of this that's going on. Basically, she has to make an oath to collect her ksuba in these cases. There's also issues of what pattern and precedent it would set for marriage. So there's all kinds of issues in ksubos. If the husband had sold property, if there was any kind of situation of mortgaged property or an orphan's property which her husband had bequeathed to the orphans, this could be after the husband died, she can't take payment of her ksuba from the mortgaged property or the orphan's property until she makes an oath. Vanifras shelo b'fanav, a woman who wants to be paid without him being there. That is, she was divorced by her husband and he went on a long journey and she came to court to collect her ksuba. She can be paid in his absence, but lo tifara ela b'shvua. Again, she has to make a shvua that she deserves to receive her ksuba and then she can have it. So too, orphans cannot receive payment except if they make a shvua. The Gemara explains this is orphans trying to get payment from other orphans. The orphans requested to pay their father's debt, and they don't know if their father paid it or not. But they say that if, on the other hand, they say their father told them he did not borrow the money at all, and then the claimants produce some kind of evidence, then they can get payment without an oath. But in a situation where they say I don't know exactly what it is, then a shavua is going to have to take place. What's the shavua? Shavua shalo pikdanu abba. We make an oath that our father did not give us any instructions. Velo omar lanu abba, and our father never told us earlier. And v'shalom atzinu ben shtarosav shal abba sheshtar zeperua. Or we never found among our father's documents any kind of receipt or a note that this bill was paid. So the Gemara explains orphans can get payment from other orphans only if the creditor, the lender, died while the borrower was still alive. If the borrower died before the guy that he owed money to, then the creditor, the lender, already has to give an oath anyway to the orphans, swearing that he didn't get payment. Anybody who tries to take payment away from Yisomim has to take an oath. Even if he has a receipt, he has to swear before you take money away from orphans. This is an extra kind of protection for Yisomim in these cases. So as we see, there are all these shavuos for situations where it's a little uncertain how much payment or total payment has been made. Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka Omer, afilu nolad haben la'achamisa sa'av. Even in a situation where a child was born after his father died, so he can't make any kind of oath what his father told him because he wasn't alive when his father was alive. Harezen nishba benotel. Still, in this kind of case, he has to take the oath saying, I didn't find any proof in the documents that the bill was settled. And then he can take his payment from the other orphans that he's suing. So we see that this oath to try to collect from orphans applies even in situations where some parts of it can't be made. Like my father didn't tell me, my father didn't mention or instruct me. But if there's documents, then he can swear to that. I went through the safe deposit box, I didn't find it, I want my payment. If, however, there are edim that at the time the father died, he said, that this bill was not paid, then the orphan son can take his payment without making an oath, because the witnesses who heard the father say that, that's good enough proof. The Tanakhama holds, no, you still have to make an oath, because maybe the father was lying on his deathbed, he wanted to impress everybody to say he was giving a big inheritance to his sons, but he was really lying. So either way, we say the Tanakhama says he would have to swear regardless. But the halach is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that in that situation, the edim are sufficient and no oath is made.